George slammed on the brakes with both feet and drove the heel of his left hand down on the horn. I was thrown forward, my shoulder harness locked. There were lap belts in the back, but our prisoner hadn't troubled to put one on. He'd been too busy doing the Jack Your Boy cheer for that, and his face shot forward into the mesh which he'd been gripping. I heard something snap, like when you crack your knuckles. I heard something else crunch. The snap was probably one of his fingers. The crunch was undoubtedly his nose. I've heard them go before, and it always sounds the same, like breaking chicken bones. He gave a muffled, surprised scream. A big squirt of blood, hot as the skin of a hot water bottle, landed on the shoulder of my uniform. Mr. Dillon probably came within half a foot of dying right there, maybe only 2 inches. But he ran on without a single look at us, ears laid back tight against his skull, yelping and barking, headed straight for Shed B. His shadow ran beside him on the hot top, black and sharp.
"Oh, Christ, I'm hurt!" Brian screamed through his plugged nose. "I'm bleeding all fucking over!"
And then he began yelling about police brutality. George opened the driver's side door. I just sat where I was for a moment, watching Dee, expecting him to stop when he got to the shed. He never did. He ran full tilt into the roll-up door, braining himself. He fell over on his side and let out a scream. Until that day, I didn't know dogs could scream, but they can. To me, it didn't sound like pain, but frustration. My arms broke out in goose flesh. Dee got up and turned in a circle as if chasing his tail. He did that twice, shook his head as if to clear it, and ran straight at the roll-up door again.
"Dee, no!" Huddy shouted from the back stoop.
Shirley was standing right beside him, her hand up to shade her eyes.
"Stop it, Dee! You mind me! Now!"
Mr. Dee paid zero attention to them. I don't think he would have paid any attention to Orville Garrett, had Orville been there that day. And Orv was the closest thing to an alpha male that Dee had. He threw himself into the roll-up door again and again, barking crazily, uttering another of those awful, frustrated screams each time he struck the solid surface. The third time he did it, he left a bloody nose print on the white-painted wood. During all of this, my old pal Brian was yelling his foolish head off.
"Help me, Jack, you boy, I bleed like a stuck fucking pig! Where'd your dumb dick friend learn to drive, Sears and fucking Roebuck? Get me out of here, my fucking toes!"
I ignored him and got out of the cruiser, meaning to ask George if he thought Dee might be rabid. But before I could open my mouth, the stink hit me. That smell of seawater and old cabbage and something else. Something a whole lot worse. Mr. Dee suddenly turned and raced to his right toward the corner of the shed.
"No, Dee, no!"
Shirley screamed. She saw what I saw a second after her. The door on the side, the one you opened with a regular knob instead of rolling up on tracks, was standing a few inches open. I have no idea if someone, Arky maybe, left it that way.